Could you tell us about this gathering, this moment that's happening right now in Winnipeg for the next 2 days? How did this come together?
Well, the Defenders of the Land gathering came about as a result of a number of us who've been involved with these local struggles, talking about the need to get together to talk about common obstacles we're facing, you know, politically and so on, in Canada. So the idea was to organize an event, because we couldn't count on the mainstream organizations to do it, like the Assembly of First Nations or other First Nations organizations. So we got together with a few non-Native supporters and started talking about the concept of holding a gathering like this. And it was pretty clear that some of the key people that had to be invited were the ones at the forefront of the struggle right now, like, you know, the Algonquins of Barrier Lake, people from Six Nations, you know, with Caledonia, you know, the non-status Algonquins from Murdoch, you know. There's a number of groups, KI, you know, plus the things going on in BC with the resource development, ski resorts, the tar sands in Alberta. So there's all these resource conflicts that are occurring due to mining activities, forestry activities, hydro activities, flooding, you know, reservoirs, energy development through electricity, you know, hydro. So the idea was to bring everybody together to get a chance to meet each other and talk about their local struggles, and then see, you know, how they can kind of mutually support each other in an ongoing way. So the idea of the Defenders of the Land came about is that these are people who are actually out there on the front line in one resource struggle or another, trying to defend their rights and interests, which have a strong environmental component to it, but it's also about social justice. So it's not just strictly an environmental issue.
You mentioned that this is something that the mainstream organizations wouldn't have done themselves. What are the principles or some of the common themes that have brought this together? What are the common guidelines that bring all these people together this week in Winnipeg?
Well, a lot of it is that we know that we're in a, you know, a state, nation state called Canada, and we also know that there is a constitution. We've been arguing for a number of decades now as to the meaning of Section 35 of Canada's constitution, you know, which recognizes and affirms the existing Aboriginal treaty rights of Aboriginal peoples. But because there's legal uncertainty as to the content of that section, you know, what the meaning of it is, because it has to be argued or negotiated on a case-by-case basis, the governments have taken advantage of that uncertainty. So, you know, we have this constitutional framework in the country where it's still being fought out about what are our Aboriginal treaty rights and how are they going to be taking place within the Canadian Federation. Government's trying to get concessions through these watered-down agreements. The courts have been a little more generous in the interpretation of Section 35, but they've been putting these legal tests and burdens on Aboriginal groups who are asserting these rights to the point where they can't afford to gather the evidence to, you know, to defend their rights or protect their rights. So, you know, there's this larger legal political context that all these groups are fighting in, where they, you know, they're basically, the government's taking advantage of their poverty by giving them take-it-or-leave-it offers through these negotiations. They can't afford to go to court, so often they go out there and try and assert their rights on the ground, and they wind up getting criminalized, you know, in the process of doing it. So then they, you know, they're into legal aid lawyers and all of that, and they're not really in a position to get justice. So fighting by themselves, they can be picked up pretty easily. So that's the idea of this gathering, is to bring everybody together and try and make, you know, the struggle stronger, but also bringing awareness to the Canadian public. So that's why it's good that there are, you know, non-Aboriginal supporters here, because, you know, it's not just Aboriginal people. They can't do it alone. They're not going to be able to convince Canadians without getting non-Aboriginal Canadians to support them and understand what their struggle is about.
There's about 50, 60 people who are gathering, probably more as the week goes on. This morning, when you talked about the media release, you mentioned another convention that's happening at the same time. I'm wondering if you could just talk about that contrast. The Conservative Party is having their national convention in Winnipeg, and this is happening
Well, coincidentally, when we organized this conference, we chose Winnipeg because it's the center of the country for everybody to gather from the east and the west. We wanted kind of a location that was fair to everybody. And coincidentally, the Conservative Party chose the same week to hold their national convention, policy convention here. And it just so happens the Prime Minister is going to be here giving a keynote speech. So we're hoping to at least have some event where we can try and send a message through to him, probably in the form of a letter, where we're challenging him to sign on to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, something he's refused to do so far. So it could be an opportunity to send a signal to them anyway that that the groups are gathered here and that they're going to be you know, working together in some sustained way, maybe through a national network or something. We have to see what the outcome of the conference is, since we're just starting. But hopefully, you know, within the next few days, we'll have some agreement or consensus on working together and how we do that.